This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, I hope you're off to a good start this morning. It's just after 7 o'clock. Justice Malala will be with us in a moment for The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by... Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da.
Nando's.
That's right. Hey, are we talking about Nando's and food? If you hate the sound of people chewing...
Oh, don't get me started.
You're probably a genius.
I'm going with that, sure.
Okay.
I love these studies.
Do you get unfathomably...
These studies, these guys make this crap up.
Do you get unfathomably angry at the sound of people drinking, chewing, crunching, gulping, nail-biting, slurping, swallowing, clicking, breathing, sniffing, wheezing,
who
whistling?
Doesn't? Yeah,
it's
we
called
all do.
Misophonia.
It's called ears.
Right, correct, misophonia. So those words alone are enough to get some people's blood boiling. But if you like Sia and you're one of those unfortunate souls, I have news for you. You're suffering from this condition he's just mentioned called misophonia. The literal definition of it is the hatred of sound. But sufferers don't just despise everything they hear. They're particular triggers that will send people into an almost uncontrollable rage. And it's impossible to filter it out if you suffer from this. Mm. You become fixated on the sound and you have an overwhelming urge to tell the perpetrator to stop immediately.
Wow. That actually makes a lot of sense because people are irritable. I've realized that I'm like a hypersensitive case of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just bad with sounds. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's my misspent youth being a DJ, but whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like I'm really, like I'm so sound sensitive. Just noises, like big noises.
Well, you would normally think someone is just pedantic and irritating.
Yeah, that's what I thought I was in the beginning.
But this is a very serious condition, and it's not just a mild dislike of sound. It actually causes extremely strong emotions in the sufferer and can have an extraordinarily detrimental effect on someone's relationships.
Mm.
Some people, when they sit around the dinner table and someone is chewing very loud with their mouth open, some people can't handle that. It can lead to the end of the relationship.
Oh.
No, I don't fall into this category.
Found yourself lucky then.
I only get annoyed by very specific sounds.
Like?
Like a high-pitched voice. It makes me...
Like Anne Hathaway?
Like any woman's voice whose pitch is higher than mine just irritates me.
But you've got quite a deep voice, Merbs. So that's a lot of women you get annoyed with.
That's why she's
people with moved. this condition called misophonia often suffer in silence for fear of being called offensive or mocking other people or being mocked. So when sufferers do speak up, they're often dismissed as being very sensitive. They get told to get over it, stop being difficult, or grow up. It's not that easy.
Wow.
Apparently, if you're unsure as to whether you suffer from the condition, then you can go and see certain psychologists and doctors and they'll be able to tell you whether or not you actually have the condition. And if you do, it's a serious condition.
Great. I thought today was going to be okay. It turns out I've got this now.
Now you have something then.
Just another disorder.
No, like I do, because you know when you guys come in and for some stupid reason the speakers in the studio are like so loud, that really makes me feel uneasy.
Yeah.
Not because it's the morning and I'm like grouchy. It's just I don't see the point. Like it fundamentally pisses me off. Like Usher was making love in the club the other morning and it was for some reason ridiculously loud. And it's like, why? Why? Why?
Well,
I battled to function normally for like 5 seconds.
Look at him, he's getting all fired up.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, here's the good news. There is good news. You could be a creative genius.
I am.
There we go.
Some days.
Ever so modestly.
Some days.
Historians have evidence that proves that people like Charles Darwin, Anton Chekhov, Marcel Proust were all very, very sensitive to sound. They all wore earplugs when they worked. And Proust went as far as lining his bedroom with cork, like a soundproof room, to block out the noise while he worked. Yeah. So there we go. Misophonia. If you think you suffer from it, then go and see someone. Maybe you need to be put on medication, Ben.
Yeah, but this is just like saying, oh, well, Margaret Thatcher, Hillary Clinton, they were women, which means all women can be great leaders.
All right. Well, they're probably idiot misophonia sufferers as well. But one person who we love to listen to, even if we don't always find reasons to be happy about what he tells us, is Justice Malala. It's time for the burning.
No.
It's time for the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Good morning, Justice.
Good morning, guys.
You don't have misophonia, do you? Noises bother you?
I must say some. But,
If someone's chewing, does it drive you crazy?
Feel free. This is the circle of trust.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much. Does it extend to all our listeners out there?
Yes, we shall not judge you.
No, it's funny how you become sensitive to all this stuff. Can we do this some other time?
No, we're going to do this now. Now we are doing this now.
We've hit a nerve.
So in my household, okay, you know, we'll sit down for dinner. Okay, gee, I'm going to get into so much time. We'll sit down for dinner, and I'll have put in the oven, I'll have put in a chicken, and I'll have to roast for an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's nice and crisp and gorgeous and lovely. Oh, it's... I must invite you to my house, you guys.
That smells good, and I'm not even in the room.
That's okay. Me salivating. And then, anyway, and then, you know, so we'll sit and we'll, you know, everyone piles in and it's great and it's, and this conversation and all that and all that. I can't go on.
No, you can.
Your heart will go on.
Come on.
See, yeah,
you've started down this road.
So, you know, chicken is an amazing thing, really. I find chicken amazing. But some among us are tempted to have a little go at the bone.
Oh! That's the best part. What do you mean?
Oh!
You don't like that or you do like that?
You know, I don't like these conversations.
Block the door.
Because let me tell you what.
You don't have to name names.
This stuff is culturally, you know,
sensitive. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. So, you know, in my household, we quite a diverse culture, shall we say?
Yes.
So,
are you the chief perpetrator of the bone crunching?
I am the only perpetrator of the bone crunching. Mm-hmm.
And the others in the family do not approve of this.
I don't. Can I just say for the record, guys, you know, in case you wanted to invite me to your house for supper or lunch or something, I just want to say, you know, the feeling takes me, shall we say. Every once in a while, you know, and the roast chicken will have been so good. And it reminds me of my childhood. Okay?
And those bones are speaking to you.
And it's just that they say, come to me, Justice. Yeah. And I'll go for what? Just one little...
It's this tiny slope. And
yeah, but...
And people go crazy.
It's nuts in that house. Oh, whoa, what are you doing? And everyone goes crazy. No, I'm just saying, it's like once... A month?
I think you should be allowed to do that, especially if you've cooked the chicken.
Yeah. Also, you know, you happen to live in that house, so it's part yours.
Mm. Wow.
I think at that very moment, I'm considered not to be part of the household. But anyway,
don't you feel better? It's lifted off your chest now.
Thank you,
Sia,
for making me put this out in the public domain. Now everywhere I go, people are listening.
Time's
live. It's Justice gonna chew now.
Yeah, put out some bones for Justice to chew.
That's perfectly with Nando.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Tell me this: haven't you been at the Nando's and felt like, let me go for a little? You know?
Yeah, for sure. But apparently that marrow is very good for you. Apparently that is a superfood.
According to who?
They say that is where, I mean, in the marrow of your bones is where your blood is manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
In the marrow of your bones is where there's a lot of cellular tissue that's very good for you, that's very nutritious, that has almost stem cell-like properties.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've heard it's very good.
Dr. Cliff.
But it's getting into there that's the difficult part. You need chisels and hammers.
Yeah, no. You've got to really clean it up.
Yes. Anyway, that's the one noise that I know. I'm very conscious of not having a go at my Nando's because of that. But
one day... There's something that will not go away. There's something that is stuck like a bone at the back of your throat in South Africa's craw, and that is Jacob Zuma. He will not go away. We spoke about him last week because it was the day before he went to court. His intelligence operatives are still in charge. The Inspector General of Intelligence says the man who gave Zuma the spy tapes is intimidating him. What's this all about?
Oh, yes. This is it's an amazing story. So many of you guys will have read Jacques Poe's book. Mm. Jacques Poe's book, The President's Keepers. He writes about this. So the Director General of Intelligence is a man called Arthur Fraser.
That's right.
Mr. Fraser is famous for being the man who gave Jacob Zuma that clip of the conversation between Bulelani Ngcuka and Leonard McCarthy at the NPA.
Right.
And that is what got Jacob Zuma off the hook. So Jacob Zuma is walking the streets of South Africa now because of Arthur Fraser. Thank you, Arthur Fraser, who is listening to your and my conversation right now, because he's the head of intelligence for South Africa.
Still.
Still.
Wow.
So, in fact, at the time he wasn't the head, but now he is. Thank you very much, Jacob Zuma. Thank you. Thank you very much. So what happened is that we in South Africa say we have spies and they do things in the night, but we need someone to keep them in check.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can do, you know, they can do all sorts of incredible stuff. But in the case of Mr. Fraser, it's alleged in Jacques Poe's book and in other places like Amabungani that he took 1.5 billion rand, set up a parallel intelligence agency, basically spies doing whatever they like. They went and bought themselves cars. They went and bought houses. They listened in on Mabale's conversations. They did all sorts of things.
Sure.
And no one could get access to this. No one knew what they were doing. It was like, here's 1.5 billion, go play. More allegations that Arthur Fraser's family benefited from this. All these are allegations.
Mm-hmm.
So the Inspector General says, you know what? I'll look into it. I'll look into it because, hey, you know, this might be interesting. These are serious allegations. Let's make sure that everyone is being honest here. He starts investigating, and lo and behold, this man, Mr. Fraser, says, oops, actually, you shouldn't be looking into this. Why are you holding that file? That file is classified. Now, if you're the Inspector General of Intelligence, you're supposed to look at classified information.
Yeah, it's your job.
It's your job. And then, before you know it, the Inspector General of Intelligence gets a letter from Mr. Fraser saying, we know we gave you security clearance, that you're a good guy, that you're not working for the Americans or the Russians or whatever. But we don't think you actually passed. So can we vet you again? Can you come for lie detector test and this and this and this? The guy says, what is going on now? No, you are vetting me. So he thinks, no, I'm not going to do it. And before you know it, he gets a letter saying, don't go to your office. You're now barred from that office because you're a security threat. So you've got a bunch of spies running around doing all sorts of nasty things, and they don't want to be investigated to have someone look at them. They are forced onto themselves. And who appointed this man? Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, we have a lot to thank him for.
We have a lot to thank him for. But this case for me is interesting because if you look at what happened on February 26, when Cyril Ramaphosa fired all those 10 ministers and replaced them with others and shifted others around, mm-hmm. is that the political players left. But if you go to Gwede Mantashe's department, for example, the public servants who are appointed by Museveni Zwane, who works for the Guptas, are still in place.
Mm-hmm.
So the public servants who are appointed by Jacob Zuma, who works for the Guptas, are still in place. Faith Mutambi's office, the people she appointed are still in place. You'll remember that there was a report that she had hired her friends, her blah, 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 and so forth. They are still there. All I'm saying is we might have begun to clean some parts and the political parts, but basically the state is still being run by Guptarites, Zumarites, all sorts of people who are appointed in that time. And that's why you have stories like this one where a director general can tell that essentially his boss that yep. You're suspended and you can't get into your office. I'm shutting it down. Go away. Just like that. You can just do it. You're a security threat. I mean, how, where does that come from? So I think it's something to watch. When you say we're clearing out, we're cleaning up and so forth, for me, we need to do it properly and it needs to go further than just the ministers. There's some seriously bad guys.
So the state is still captured.
The state is still captured. Do we want to go to that clip?
Yes, I've got it.
Ah, fantastic.
Of Colin Maine.
Let's talk okay. about Colin Maine. We to need him. To talk about Colin Maine.
Let me turn this up.
Don't forget very quickly where we come from and where we want to go. But in remembering Mamoun Mandela, Mamoun Mandela never went to the doctors like some of the Guptas.
Did he just say Mamoun Mandela never went to the Guptas like some of us did?
Yes.
Is that what he just said?
Yes, he just said it.
The Guptas.
Is he having a moment of conscience?
it's amazing.
I mean, it's hard to hear what he's saying, but because Oros, you know,
Oros was at a Winnie Mandela memorial service yesterday, and this was in Potchefstroom. Out in Poch, he stands up to speak, and he starts speaking. And he says, Winnie was amazing, fantastic, incredible, all these things. And then he says, you know, Winnie was so great that she never went to the Guptas, like some of us. Uh-oh. Now, he has consistently said, I don't have a relationship
That's
with
right.
these people. You'll remember the allegation. By the way, Oris bought himself a very nice house in Centurion, I think, mm-hmm. in Pretoria. It cost 5.6 million, and the bond, unlike the rest of us who run to VBS Bank or something like that, he got his bond from Bank of Baroda. Guess whose bankers Bank of Baroda was? The Guptas. Who did the deal? It was a lawyer connected to the Guptas. He was paying something like 50,000, no, actually 90-something thousand rand a month. That was his bond. And everyone kept on asking, where do you get the money to do this from? Turns out that the Guptas had already paid a huge chunk of the bond off, and he just had to, you know, wink and wave. And he didn't have to pay much of it. So all this time he kept on saying, no, I wasn't part of the Gupta. No, I'm not one of them. No. But he was pitching up, defending them and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday when he stands up, he says, Winnie never went to the Gupta. Some of us did. And he said, I wasn't taken there by Jacob Zuma. I was taken by Supra Mahumapilu, the premier of the Northwest. He goes on to say, you know what? We did these things. I did these things. So don't blame the ANC. When I go to court, when I go to the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, don't come there and support me in the name of the ANC. Because I went on my own to the Guptas.
Why would he be doing this? First of all, he's incriminating himself.
He is totally incriminating.
So he's not very wise. He couldn't have consulted with a lawyer.
You know, Gareth, I do love you for one thing. You always think the best of people. You actually, of the five people in this room, you actually thought that Colin Maine was one of the sharper exes in the house. I love that kind of
look at
optimism.
How you all look down on me.
you are.
So hang on.
You are human, man. You are fantastic.
So he's incriminating himself, but he's also throwing Supra Mahumapelo under the bus. And he's basically saying, don't support Jacob Zuma as well.
There you've set it out. Supra Mahumapelo, who has been implicated in Mediosa, this was the outfit that provided non-moving medical ambulances to the Northwest, connected to the Guptas, and he said, no, there's nothing about this, and he chucked out the Minister of Health when the Minister of Health went to look into it. Mm-hmm. Well, he's just said, My man is the man who did the deal. So who was Duduzane Zuma of the Northwest, the person who brought people to the Guptas, Suprema Humapelo? So he's just thrown him under the bus, as you say. But he's basically saying, you know, all these people rushing off to be by Jacob Zuma's side, Jacob Zuma did it himself. He didn't do it on behalf of the ANC. So what the heck are you doing going and supporting him?
Well, it's good work also from Clement Magnatella.
Yeah.
From EWN, who recorded that clip by the looks of things.
Yes, I think there's quite a few of them doing the round.
I saw Thandi Modise was sitting right there.
Next to him. She would be very interested in what is going on because she left the Northwest as the premier. And who came in?
Supra
Mahumapelo. So I'm sure Mr. Mahumapelo, who has had his fair share of controversies. You'll remember a few weeks ago we spoke about him going. What happened with Mr. Mahumapelo? Oh, his office was raided by the Hawks, looking for evidence connecting him to that dodgy deal in his health department. So it's piling up. And you'll remember that Supra Mahumapelo was part of the notorious Premier League. So the Premier League was the premier of the Free State, Mr. Ace Magashule.
Who's got many problems of his own.
He's got many. Oh, by the way, his office was also raided by the Hawks just 2 months ago. Over and above that, he's going around saying, Winnie Mandela was so amazing and so fantastic. But he's been sitting for 9 years on, what, 5 million, 3 million rand?
Mm-hmm. To fix the house in Brantford.
Exactly. And has he done it? No. Mm-hmm. Is that how you show how amazing Winnie is?
I see the EFF are holding their memorial service there.
Yes.
They like to dig. They like to stick that knife in.
And I don't blame them. I mean, it's such an own goal. And, at some
Did
point.
Did you hear Trevor Manuel having a go at him?
Last week. And it was, and he was absolutely right to do it. You sit there saying, oh, she was so amazing. She was fantastic. And then what do? You get money to build a memorial, to build a museum in her name. Imagine that you're some Swedish tourist and you're off. You come into South Africa and you want to see what this apartheid monster was, that they banished this woman to Brandfort. I mean, it's
horrible,
a horrible place. You go there to look at it and you find a house that's derelict, dilapidated. No one's done anything about it. Take what the house that Winnie lived in and go to Amsterdam and look at Anne Frank's house. You know, every day hundreds of thousands of people go through the doors of that. To remember, in South Africa, Ace Magashule sits there on the cash
and
does
nothing. At the time of Winnie's death, the woman died a week and a half ago. And even now, nothing's being done.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so, I mean, absolutely deserved. Anyway.
And then the third member of the Premier League is our deputy president.
And our deputy president, you know, I must sit down.
Quiet.
No, he's quiet and not quiet. It's been interesting for me that 2 weeks ago in Parliament, you will know, Sia, you'll be very interested in this, that... Ace Magashule, when he left the Free State 3 weeks ago, they had a little party for him. So they spent 20 million rand.
Yeah, that's little.
For a little party.
Yes.
20 million.
What's 20 million
rand? So on the day of the party, they say to all the civil servants in the Free State, come to the office, but at 9 o'clock, leave and go to the stadium to celebrate. And a few good souls decide, yeah, no, I'll listen to the government and I'll actually go. They go to the stadium; it's empty. But talking about chicken, so they say, oh, we gotta feed people. So, you know, they give them two rolls, kind of like just some lousy looking bread and one piece of chicken.
Oh,
one piece of chicken. I mean, it's not worth chewing on, is it?
No, that's very cheap of them.
The village. So the question is, what happened with the 20 million rand exactly? Where?
Yeah, because that you could buy a lot of Nandos for 20 million.
20
rand.
Million rand.
You'd probably buy all the Nandos for 20 million. Rand.
You could go to town. Mm. Yeah. So 20 million rand for two pieces of a bread roll and one piece of chicken. That was it. It's incredible. Anyway, what was Jeez. Amazing for me about that whole event was that on the day that the story broke, David Mabuza, the deputy president of South Africa, was in Parliament answering questions from MPs. So he gets asked about this, and he says, "I don't understand. When I left in Mpumalanga, I had a farewell party in my house. How can you spend 20 million rand?"
Ooh, they're turning on each other.
They're turning on each other. That's a man under a bus right there.
Mm.
You know, I mean, when you think about Ace Magashule, that's a man on fire. You know, he's got allegations that 150 million rand tender, 30% of it went to his daughter in this housing thing in the Free State. You've got the raid on his house.
The Estina Dairy Farm.
Hawks raiding his house. You've got the Winnie Mandela Brandfort home.
His son employed by the Guptas.
This man, think about this man. And he's sitting in his house, in his office, sorry, at Luthuli House, and he gets a call from the ANC's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, saying, "Comrade, we have our meeting on Monday. Can I have that report?" And say, "Oh, it's coming, it's coming." And he, you know, he has to type up the report, and because if you're the SG, that's your job to organize. You're the CEO, essentially, of the business. And Cyril is essentially the chairman. Guy, where are the reports so that we can get ready for the Monday's meeting? Yes, yes, I'm doing it. Tring, tring, and then the phone goes. So I'm
your
an old
office,
kid,
other office is being raided. Your house is being raided.
Your daughter's about to be arrested.
He's not interested in the ANC. He's not focused on that job.
I'm amazed that this guy is still working. But what I think, you know, it's interesting. All these Guptarites. The past 3 months for them must be just hectic, because little by little, it's just going to fall apart. Ace Magashule will not last as ANC Secretary General. The law is going to go after him. ANC members are going to say, "This guy, am I going into elections with him? Julius Malema is going to make mincemeat out of that guy. He's going..." Every time the ANC talks about "we will fight corruption," it's going to say, "Yes, thank you very much. Yes, Ace Magashule."
It's like a gift, because they did have a problem when Jacob Zuma left.
Exactly. But
they didn't have an enemy number one, and Ace is very happy to take up those reins.
Every day Ace Magashule is volunteering to be a takeover from Jacob Zuma.
All right, but speaking of Julius, he did kind of blow his load, if you don't mind my rough course. Ugly use of language in this Nelson Mandela Bay situation. It's a disaster.
It's an absolute disaster.
It's
you'll
been
remember.
Played very badly by the EFF and the ANC.
You'll remember that when it first happened, we had this conversation. I think it was three Fridays ago. Mm-hmm. Three, four.
It was a little while.
Yeah. And Julius Malema had gone all in on this one. He had attacked journalists. He had said all sorts, but he'd gone personally for Athol Trollope. He said, "It's so sweet for a black child to determine the fate of a white man." And basically, "I'm going to get rid of you soonish." He'd also said, "I'm going to cut off the throat of whiteness"
right.
by removing Athol Trollope. All that incendiary stuff
And I mean, he could have said, we don't want you there anymore, but instead he went really hard.
He went really hard.
And fired up his base. And,
oh, you know, yes.
Got excited.
On the day, 16 days ago, in fact, on the day before that, he had that...
And all the white people got upset. They were like, oh, you see, we said he was a racist. So all of this was going on.
All this was going on.
And people expected a fireworks show.
I thought Toilip was getting out. That yeah. was the thing. Well, you know, Julius Malema has been very quiet about Nelson Mandela Bay the past few weeks. Why?
It's massive embarrassment.
He is totally embarrassed, and it shows up his political immaturity. The fact that he could bang on and bang on and bang on about this, but he didn't do the hard yards of preparing. If I say I'm going to take Ben out, you know, I've got to make sure that I've lined it up. I can't come here and, you know, hold up my loud hailer. He's out. He's out. He's yeah, out.
We're getting rid of Ben.
Getting rid of Ben. Yeah. And then I have no strategy. I don't know how I'm going to. I'm just praying that some people will come in with me. The DA did the hard yards on this thing. They went to Gayton McKenzie and said, you've got one vote. And you remember that there's 120 seats in that council. The DA has 60, can manage to bring in 60 with some of their allies. Mm-hmm. They need one to make it 61 and their majority.
Right.
That one was Gayton McKenzie's guy. I can't remember his first name, Jacobs.
Mm.
And they went to him and said, Baba, how are you doing? He said, good. They said, do you want to be MEC for transport? Mm-hmm. He says, yes, I'd love that. And they said, do you want to be deputy mayor? He said, wow, fantastic, I'd love that. And they said, you'll get it if you vote with us.
Yeah.
So Julius Malema goes in there and just prays. Oh, no. He doesn't go and sit down and say, Baba, if we win, you'll become deputy mayor. And you will get this. Hey, Mabale, you will get that and so forth.
Right.
And so when it comes to the vote, boom. In fact, he realized that they won't get the numbers. So the first meeting, they disrupted, they made noise, they did this, they collapsed the meeting. Again, this week, they did exactly the same thing, and it collapsed. And who is the mayor of Nelson Mandela Bay today?
Arthur Trollope.
It's Arthur Trollope. So, you know, people make...
it's an unfortunate name, because if you have a lisp, you would it would almost seem like you were saying asshole Trollope, don't you think?
Let's move on swiftly to another topic of conversation. But thank you for your contribution, Mr. Cliff.
I'm trying to add value. You know, Justice.
You've done your best.
When you're in the room, it's very hard for me to get a word in edgewise and make it useful. All right, let's just talk about the ANC. Well, first of all, the effect on the RAND that Donald Trump has. This is interesting because we often refer to international news. We spoke about Botswana last week.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's tweets can actually affect our currency negatively.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I mean, we've had a good time in South Africa the past 3 months. The currency, you'll remember when Jacob Zuma fired Nhlanhla Nene in December 2015, the currency took such a beating.
Yeah.
We've been trying to recover since then. And for the first time, after Cyril Ramaphosa was elected this year, in December, the rand started strengthening, became better and better. For the first time in 2 years, it went below 12 rand to the dollar. This is back from 16, near 17 rand to the dollar when Nhlanhla Nene was fired. So, you know, suddenly we were all thinking of overseas holidays, having fun.
We got excited.
Yeah, your money could take you somewhere.
Huh.
But even as things look better and better in South Africa politically and look a little bit more stable than they were under Jacob Zuma, we mustn't forget that the global picture is pretty challenging. About 60 people died last week from a nerve gas attack in Syria. And it's alleged that it's Bashar al-Assad of Syria who is responsible for this. Mm. And so the world gets on goes crazy and says, you can't have chemical weapons. You can't have this. We need to do something about it.
Right.
So the Russians say, no, wait. Let's wait and make a proper investigation and see who's responsible before we act and act rashly. Donald Trump says, no, I'm going to bomb the heck out of these guys, and I'll make sure that, you know, they'll never, ever do it again. And he insults Bashir and all this goes, yeah, bangs on. But what that does is that it means that two of your superpowers are now saying, I'm going to bomb him. Putin says, if you try to bomb him, I'm going to bomb your bombs as they try to come in. Hmm. And then what do you have? You have conflict. Trump says, yeah, this is the worst we've ever had between the US and Russia, and it's terrible and so forth. You repeating this week what Trump did two weeks ago with North Korea and Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
I'll blow up California. No, I'll blow you up.
Yeah, right.
Who's got the bigger one? No, mine's bigger than yours. No. Mm-hmm. But, you know?
Childish.
And that has an impact. So the rand retreated to above 12 to the dollar this week. And a huge chunk of it is not because what Cyril Ramaphosa said or Julius Malema said, is because of the global picture. Is because these global leaders are taking us to a situation where we start thinking, oh dear, are we about to see a third world war or not? Are they about to take us to the brink or not? And yeah, people are very worried about their money, and that's why it weakens. So, you know, for me, it's always keep an eye on the international stuff. We don't do enough of that. But what is happening and what happens is that you've got a situation where this stuff has a big impact on oil prices, on currencies, and so forth. But Donald Trump is interesting, and I think he's getting closer and closer to either being impeached, either being charged for all sorts of things. The FBI director is lots and lots of talk that he might fire his FBI director. That is behaving like Jacob Zuma when he fires...
when he disbands the Scorpions.
When he disbands the Scorpions and puts in an NPA head, for example, like Sean Abrams, or someone at the head of the Hawks like Benning Tlemeza, who is a lackey of his. So,
hey, where is Benning Tlemeza?
He's quietly retired. After, bless his soul, Figile Mbalula told him that actually you're not needed here anymore.
That may have been Figile's, in his very short tenure as police minister, that might have been his most important role.
Yeah, I think he did good there.
Getting rid of Benning Tlemeza was actually a big deal.
It's a happy thing. Yeah. It's a happy thing.
By the way, what happens to people like... I mean, Figile's been given some low-level job at Luthuli House.
Mm.
Almost to save face, he's the elections coordinator or something.
Yes.
And I don't know whether, you know, he proved that he wasn't very good at this in the last election when the ANC had a very much an uphill battle and he didn't deliver the votes that he said he would. And the other one that I'm interested in is Faith, favorite minister Faith Mutambi, who still sits in parliament, right?
Yes, Faith is still an MP. She made some comments that she's in one of the committees. But Faith Mutambi is one of those people, I think, who are waiting... who are waiting to go to jail because members of, I think it was an MP called Ramatlakane, he's an ANC MP, who said last week, this person is sitting in our committee and this person sent confidential cabinet documents to the Guptas. So why isn't this person fired or charged? So what is likely to happen is that when the Commission of Inquiry, the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, she will be front and center. When Colin Maine goes and repeats his confession, I'm sure that confession will be peppered with names like Faith Mutambi told me to do this, and this one told me to do that and so on. So I think that's the first thing that's going to, that is probably exercising her mind. You'll remember that on Friday, she was in KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, standing right by Jacob Zuma at his corruption trial.
Mm.
Look at the people who were there. It was her. What? Who did she work for the Guptas? It was Das van Rooyen. Who did he work for?
Mm-hmm.
It was for the Guptas. Who else was there? Carl Niehaus.
Well, I mean, how much political capital does Carl Niehaus have?
Exactly. Who else was there? All the people who were there were not your legitimate, genuine ANC members. All of them had some or other link to the Gupta family. So you look at it and say, what was going on there? It was the Guptas going on in that. So I think that's where it's going to go with not just Faith Mutambi, but with all of them. I mean, Faith Mutambi for me remains a figure of great interest, because you'll remember when she gave evidence before that ESCOM inquiry, and she was asked how many people she had hired, and she said none. She said none, and some said she said nine. Now, most political offices have five people, so it's the minister and a PA and a speechwriter or two and an advisor, six at most. The Sunday Times reported that she had 23 in her office.
That's a lot of people, and a lot of them were her relatives.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So over December, she appointed a chief of protocol in her office. What does a chief of protocol do? Is there a word like that? It's someone who bows and scrapes in front of the, this way, minister, let me open the door for you, minister. This way, minister, will you all stand up, please? The minister's coming in. Oh, no, please, sir, the minister's here. Why doesn't the minister have a chair with big, massive headrest? Mm-hmm. That's
their job, the protocol people.
So basically, Ms. Mutambi thought that she was a chief or something like that. It's very sad, but the law is patient. The law is lovely. The law catches up with you.
Well, there's probably going to be a lot more in the Sistina Dairy Farm case as well as that develops. But the Gupta's still not pitching before Parliament.
The Gupta's still not pitching before Parliament. But I'm interested in the fact that a South African businessman having a little cigarette outside a building in Dubai sees a man walk out and says, oh my word, that's AJ Gupta. And he says, how are you, sir? And he says something really sweet. He says, they are looking for you in South Africa. AJ says, when they send me confirmation of this or some other, what they are looking for me for, I'll go there. And then AJ takes off in a $160,000 car.
Right.
And rides off into the sunset. But that yesterday there were reports that businessman has been taken into custody.
That's correct.
In Dubai. For what? What exactly did he do wrong? I'm looking forward. I don't have any other information about it. But I'm quite interested to know what Foreign Affairs says the authorities in that country held him for, and to just please help us with working out that a criminal who is wanted by one parliament, who is wanted by the Hawks,
yes,
is in their country, and someone who spots him and says, hey, Sia, how are you doing? They're looking for you back home.
That person gets arrested.
We need to stand up about this sort of thing. Is Dubai saying that it's essentially
it's bad to steal from the whole country and be involved in state capture, but it's much worse to film the person who is suspected of this and embarrass
them. It's crazy. So I'm looking forward to the authorities there actually coming back and telling us clearly what they stand for.
And you know,
if they don't, for me it says that they're saying yes, we'll continue to launder money, and I won't believe them when they say no, your ministers all those ministers. Remember, there were lots and lots of ministers who went to the Oberoi Hotel, paid for by the Guptas, and many suspect that they have bank accounts in that country. Who comes to mind? Des van Rooyen. He's the one who said, "I'm going on holiday." Mabali, you should try this sort of holiday. Des said, "I'm going on holiday," and then gets on a jet plane off to Dubai, gets to Dubai, spends one night, and comes back the next day.
Weekend special.
Well, that's a holiday. I mean, one night in Dubai. What was the song? One night in Bangkok.
Da, yeah, yeah. This is one night in Dubai. Yeah.
One night in Dubai. Da,
All right, Justice, man. Thank you. Just one other quick thing while you're here. So Mabali and I were talking about this guy who was arrested for videoing AJ Gupta, and we were both asking, well, what is Durko's role in this? Because really, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation have hardly shone under Maiti and Gwanama Shabani. Yeah. We didn't really do any massive trade deals. It doesn't seem like they really made any moves to ally us with our current and existing trade partners, bring about new relationships. It seems we're almost retreating. We used to have quite a position in the international community. In the UN, we voted against some human rights moves, which was very odd. We sided with some very bad countries.
Look, we let Omar al-Bashir go.
Yeah, and now that Lindiwe Sisulu is in there as minister, can we look forward to establishing better relations for South Africa in the international community? Can we look after our friends better, make the right decisions at the UN? Do you think that she will be able to make any changes there, or do you think that she'll be about as quiet as she was when she was in various other ministries over the last 10 years doing pretty much as little as might in Gwanama Shabane?
I think that our stance on human rights issues might change a little bit. I'm not sure that it will be because of Lindiwe Sisulu. I think it will be more from the top, from Cyril Ramaphosa. But their role in this thing is to make sure that the interests of South African citizens are protected, that they are looked after and get fairness in that in whatever country that they're arrested in. So if you're a drug mule, for example, and you're South African and you end up in a jail in China, the South African consulate will go check up on you, will make sure that you get a fair trial, that your rights are represented fairly. But if you go down, you go down in that country. So that's the extent to which they can do this. They can also go and, you know, protest that this is a good, upstanding citizen. Why is he or she being held?
Yes.
And can we make sure if they do have charges, that the charges are brought about and instituted swiftly, and there's a trial swiftly, and it's all sorted out. So really, they make sure that South Africans, wherever you may be traveling in Thailand, or you may be wherever you might be. So really, it's really sort of an oversight role. You have a big sister or big brother wherever you are who will bat for you somewhat. Most of the time it doesn't help much, but in this case it would be interesting to know what that
I almost think it would be better to have the gift of the givers behind you than to have Durko. No, and I'm not even being sarcastic, because they've been successful in getting hostages back. They seem to have had better connections in some parts of the world than our Department of International Relations.
Absolutely. They also seem to have been far better at negotiating than Durko. Durko issues a statement and seems to forget about you. And some of it speaks to the quality of people at embassies. So if you're a Gupta and you are starting a TV station in South Africa called ANN7, they had the Minister of Home Affairs, Malusi Gigaba at the time, send two Home Affairs employees to New Delhi, to New Delhi, to
To expedite
yeah. the visas and permits of their employees.
So if there's political will, you're saying
oh no, then
things really happen.
So Mr. Is it Van Platten?
Yeah.
I think he must hope that we have we have the political will to expedite his release from whatever the Dubai authorities are looking for from him. It is quite something that in the newspapers there have been pictures of houses published showing that Jacob Zuma has a house there.
Hmm.
I haven't seen those guys rush off to check how he got the money into the country to buy himself a house. But we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Justice Malala.
Absolute pleasure.
The Burning Platform, it's brought to you by Nando's. Every week you get your insights into the politics of South Africa and the world, some of the stories that are on our minds. And you can catch Justice every Thursday right here. Thank you. Don't you always feel like you've had a good meal after Justice has been here? Like you've sucked the marrow out of the bones.
Oh, full circle.
Don't you think that's quite a thing?
I thought we'd moved on.
No.
This was the circle of let go of. It is a circle of trust.
Circle yes. of trust. Yes. I thought what's said here stays here. No.
And but it does. We didn't say how many times.
No.
We'll stay here for quite a long time.
All right. Thank you very much, Justice. Coming up in the next little while, we'll speak to Karen Morn, who's just taken up a new job. And she's very excited about that. I see a new hairstyle too. And she will be popping by to tell us about her exciting career so far, the amazing stories that she's covered. And I remember the last time we spoke to Karen, we were talking to her down a very bad phone line, and she was actually in Bloemfontein when the Estina Dairy Farm case came to the fore and certain arrests were made. Mm. And certain arrests were not made. They couldn't find Duduza Nizuma. They couldn't find Atul or AJ or Rajesh Gupta. But they did find some obscure Gupta who we're not even sure is a relative. And we know that, you know, this is Ace Magashule's big case that's coming up. So we'll have to check in with Karen on the stories that she's covered. And really, she's done some amazing work.
And we must also ask her about her special relationship
with Batabile. That's very special. So that is a really special yeah. relationship. I don't know if no one was watching, if there were no cameras on, whether Batabile would actually get physical and Karen would have to defend herself or not, but we can only surmise. We'll find out in a moment or two. Karen Morn coming to join us. Live interview between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. I hope you're off to a good start today. Here's what you need to know. Colin Oros Maine has spoken up about how he got introduced to the Guptas, and with that, some cats have been let out of the bag. Spurred on by the ecstasy of honesty, he also said he found the Guptas were very dodgy people. He actually liked his white neighbors, and he didn't drink Oros because it had started to stain his teeth. Mark Zuckerberg is really making the most of his trial in front of the US lawmakers. Well, as none of the judges know anything about the internet, they aren't asking him any worthwhile questions. But after setting up Congress Wi-Fi, showing them how to open and close apps and how to make voice notes on WhatsApp, he's really won them over. Oh, and he also knows all their children's darkest secrets and will reveal them at any time should he be provoked to do so. The IPL is underway in India. Many are still talking about the South Africa versus Australia test series and the sandpaper ball tampering case. To gain a larger audience, the IPL are now considering having a sandpaper power play, where the fielding team can rough up the ball for over 2 overs. And they've already signed up a hardware store to sponsor it. It could implement it by early next week, so watch that space. Stick around. Karen Morn, next on CliffCentral.com in an incredible lineup of stuff. It's Thursday, which means it's going to be busy. And if you want to know what's happening, all you have to do is head on over to our app. If you don't have our app, go to our website. Try to get both, because it helps you to get what you need when you want it. And that's the beauty of podcasting. All of that and more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Karen Morn, next.
This is CliffCentral.com.